Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom. Plain and simple. I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. I just want to say thanks to everyone for tuning in, taking time out of your schedule to come and hear what God has to tell us on tonight. It's always an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God. There's so much going on in the world. There's trouble on all sides. But God is in control. And God is working things out together for our good. We have to trust Him. And tonight our lesson is, the Lord is our shepherd. Do you really know it? Do you understand it? We're coming from the 23rd Psalm. And I'm going to play a song, and we're going to come back and explore the Word of God together.
And they were
yes, these are trying times that we are living in, I decided to play that song because the title of it is We Come This Far by Fate. And fate is what's going to bring us through. We have to hold on to the faith that we have placed in God. The reason we put our faith there is because we believe that he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think in Christ Jesus. At this time, it's time to go to the throne of grace. We have to thank God for allowing us to come together like this, a fellowship one with another, as we explore the words of God together. And we have to give him his praise, honor, and glory. And before we go into our lesson, we want to invite him in. We come with a spirit of expectancy that the Holy Spirit will have his way with this program on tonight. And I'm asking if someone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. I will open your mic, and you can go before God in prayer on behalf of all of us, all of the listeners all around the world. Press the one button on your phone. Well, it's praying time. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, I can truly say that you are my Lord, my Savior, and my Master. And Lord, I'm coming to you right now as humble as I can, realizing that you are in control, that you have my best interest at heart, and that you are a good shepherd. Lord, teach me how to be your sheep. Lord, I'm thanking you for this opportunity, and I praise your holy name for allowing me to be able to go before your people. And Lord, I must confess tonight, it's not that I'm so good or that I do everything right, but God, you have decided to allow me to do this, and for that I'm grateful. Bless all of the homes that's represented here tonight, dear God. Some is in need of one thing. Some is in need of something else. But, Lord, as we go through this period in our life, this season, where everything is topsy-turvy, Lord, there's so many things that's happening around us and to us that we have no control of. But we know that you are looking down upon us, and you have our best interests at heart, and you will deliver us from these trials and tribulations. But we have to trust you, dear God. Lord, and I trust you with all of my heart, my mind, my body, and my soul. Lord, I'm asking that you grant the blessings that are needed by the people, those who have called in, those who maybe wanted to call in. And those who don't know what to do right now, dear God. They have people that's having problems with depression and isolation. And then we got all of the deaths in the different families, dear God. Bless them families, dear God, that they can realize that you are still in control. Heal a brokenhearted, dear God. And bring them through the process of grieving for their loved ones, realizing and holding on to the confession of their faith, dear God, that you will see them through. Some people are having financial difficulties, dear God, and others just is overwhelmed because they just don't understand what's going on and why. But, Lord, we don't know if you orchestrated it or you just allowing it. And either way, dear God, we have to say it is well, because that means you're in control. And we can't see it now, and we don't understand it. But God, you're going to deliver us out the hand of the enemy one way or another, that we could see the salvation of God even through epidemic, dear God, that we could see how you have control over what's happening. You know, we see one person young and well die, and we see one person old and sick live. That's the hand of God. And Lord, we thank you, even in the midst of our storm. We thank you because you're in control. We thank you because you promised never to leave us nor to forsake us. So we realize that this is not happening or taking you by surprise. And you right in the middle of all of our lives, in the middle of the midst of the storm, you're letting us know you got us, dear God, to hold on till our change comes. And for that, I say thank you. I thank you, dear God, for your mercy and your grace, your long-suffering with all of us. Help us, dear God. Guide us and protect us in the way that you would have for us to go. Continue to protect us from dangers seen and unseen. Thank you for opening doors that no man could shut and shutting doors that need to be closed. I thank you for going before me and making every crooked road straight. I thank you because you are a love of our soul. You gave your son that we may live. You let him lose his life so that we may live. And for that, I say thank you. I thank you, dear God, with my everything, all that I am, I surrender to you. Thank you, dear God, for a measure of faith. Thank you, dear God, for choosing me, saving me, and set me apart. Lord, all of this and everything else, I ask in your darling son Jesus' name. Amen, and thank God. Our lesson tonight is a familiar chapter in the Bible with familiar scriptures. But, you know, sometimes we have to visit the familiar to receive other meanings and messages in it for us, so that we could hold on even more to what was said. So tonight I'm going to do some background, and I want you to know that the book of Psalms was mainly written by King David, but they also had other writers. I think there was 5 different writers that wrote the book of Psalms. Many may think that David wrote all of the Psalms in the book of Psalms, but it is not so. But David did write this 23rd Psalm, in which he's describing the Lord as a shepherd. You see, David wrote out of his own life experiences because he spent his early years caring for sheep. David was a shepherd when God wanted to anoint him as a king, and he sent Samuel to Jesse's house. David was in the field. All of the sons that was in the house, the ones that looked good, tall and of great stature, Samuel poured the oil on them, and it let him know that they weren't the one. So Samuel asked Jesse if he had any other sons. He said, "I got a little scrabbly boy outside. He don't smell good. He don't look good. And all he do is tend the sheep." Samuel said, "Go get him." They brought him in, and Samuel pulled the oil on David. And whatever the oil did, it allowed all those who was there to know that David was the one. David was called in the house from the field, tending the sheep. David was a shepherd to the sheep. And you see, we have to remember the Bible was written by men, but inspired by God. And he used David here to write the 23rd Psalm. And it's an analogy of a shepherd and his sheep. You see, David knew, and God knew that David knew and would be able to express, describe, and write a correct illustration of the relationship between a shepherd and his sheep in great details. You see, God never asked us to do things that he knew we would not be able to do. So you don't have to worry about God giving you an assignment that you can't perform and then you feel like you're not, you know, pleasing God. He won't ask you to do what you can't do. Or he won't ask you to accomplish something that he know that you can't do. You see, God uses our ability and even our life experiences to accomplish his intended goal for our lives. So don't get angry with your life experiences, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It has a place in your mold and shape and getting you to where God wants you to be. You need experiences. David was a shepherd, and he wrote the 23rd Psalm. You see, Psalm 23 is the most read, the most quoted, the most memorized, and thought of passage in Scripture. God used things in the human, in the natural, that you are familiar with to explain the spiritual so that you can get a good understanding of what he wants to reveal to you. Here God is using an analogy of a shepherd and his sheep. You see, an analogy is a comparison based on similarities. It shows likeness between people, places, or things. Here God is described as our shepherd, and he's letting us know to take on the characteristics of a sheep. You see, the Bible refers that Jesus is our shepherd even before he was born. Because if we go way back into the Old Testament, Malachi prophesied in the Old Testament that Jesus would come and he would become our shepherd. Because Malachi 5:4 says, he will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. That was the prophecy of Jesus coming to be the shepherd. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the end of the earth. You see, Jesus is also described as a shepherd in the New Testament. You see, first Jesus is described as the good shepherd. If you go to John 10:11, Jesus say, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The scripture lets us know who our shepherd is and what he's willing to do for us. So when you look at the 23rd Psalm, you don't have to think or wonder if Jesus is really a shepherd. So I'm giving you scripture to back it up. You see, second, Jesus is described as a great shepherd. Because if you go to Hebrews 13:20, for those who are writing, Hebrews 13:20 say, may the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, hallelujah, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, and the other scripture describing Jesus as a shepherd, it can be found in 1 Corinthians. It tells us about that. So we have scriptures that's letting us know about Jesus as the shepherd. And we have to realize that he is. And this is letting us know that Jesus is a shepherd. We have to realize that a shepherd tends the sheep. You see, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and Master, he become our shepherd, and we become his sheep. And then we receive the gift of salvation. That's a blessing, y'all. So that's a little background, and I'm going into Psalm 23. And the first scripture reads, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You see, this psalm is often recited by many over the years, but I would ask you Do you really know the importance of this scripture? Do you really understand what God is letting us know? Who he is for us and how should we act towards him? This was given to us, this scripture, the 23rd chapter of Psalms, was given us for hope, peace, strength in time of trouble. It is the blessing assurance of God as our present help. Present help mean help now, help now, help now, help now. This situation, help, present help. He's our present help, working all things out together for our good, always. You see, once you truly believe this, and I'm not talking to people who may be wondering if or maybe. Yeah, he might be, but or even the lackadaisical wording that says, oh, I hope. But if you can begin to rest in the fact that he is your shepherd, and you begin to say, as David said, the Lord is my shepherd and I'm his sheep, then it will become personal to you, and you will look at the Savior as not only a Savior for the hereafter, but a shepherd leading us in this present life here on earth. You see, a shepherd is one who provides the needs for his sheep. He cares for them. He watches over them. He preserves them. He protects them. He will never leave them. He will lead and guide them in the right direction. You see, a good shepherd do all this for the sheep. Y'all got to study after I leave off here and find out some things about a sheep, and you could truly understand our need as sheep for a good shepherd. You see, a shepherd is willing to lay down his life for his sheep. No matter what state or position you're in right now, no matter what your needs are, even in the best of times and the worst of times, you got to hold on and realize that God is in control. And I had you to read Psalm 24 so you could realize that everything belongs to him. And because of that, you have no need to want. The great confidence which believers have in God is that if the Lord is your shepherd, you can conclude that you will never want for anything that is really necessary for your good. Now, you see, we have to take the scripture and we have to put everything in it, everything that's necessary for your good. Because, you see, some say, I will want for nothing. So you might be wanting for things that don't line up with the will of God. So, of course, he's not going to change his will for you. But when you lined up in the things that are necessary for your good, your shepherd will provide it. If we look at verse 2, it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see, green pastures spoken here is not in reference to food, because it would be easy to say greener pastures, sheep graze on grass, and he's going to give them better grass. But it's not in reference to food, but it's talking about peace. See, Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus, which is our good shepherd. You see, a shepherd knows the need of a sheep. A shepherd knows it's very important for a sheep to have rest. That's why God established the Sabbath day. God didn't need rest. That's why he said the Sabbath wasn't made for God, but for man. You see, the good shepherd knows we need rest, and he provides peace in a time of a storm, and he's always working all things out together for our good. And at any cost, he will lead you to peace and rest, because he knows where the greenest grass is. You see, the world makes some grass look greener than others, but I come to tell you tonight, don't let the green grass fool you. Don't let all greener grass fool you. You see, anything that seems to be too good to be true usually is a lie. Sheep will not lie down when they're hungry or drink from fast-flowing streams when they're thirsty. You see, but a good shepherd would dam up the stream so that the sheep could quench their thirst. And then he lead them, because sheep cannot be driven. He provide all of their needs. He bring them where they could eat and get full, because a sheep can't sleep when they're hungry. You see, when a sheep hears the voice of his shepherd, he follows him. We must become as sheep, realizing that God knows the right path for us. The shepherd has provided enough evidence for the sheep to trust him. Have God done enough in your life for you to totally trust him? Or do you trust him sometimes? Only trust him when it's convenient for you, or you trust him a little bit. You bring something to him and you go back and take it back. But can you truly trust him? God speaks to us in his word. And in his word, you could hear his voice. So have God spoke to you lately? If you want to hear from God, read his words. See, and they talked about leading in the path of righteousness. When sheep wander into new path, they can be exposed, which can lead them into trouble. You know, sheep are one of the only animals that don't have all of these protective, you know, things on them. You know, a skunk could raise his tail and make you leave him alone. Lions have teeth and claws. You know, a snake has a venomous bite. But sheep have none of this. And that's why God wants us to realize our need for him. They're not the smartest tool in the shed. They don't run fast, they don't see good, and they can't hear good. I'm talking about a sheep. Now, God is not asking us, you know, when to be just dumb, but take on the mentality and the attributes of a sheep so that you can really be led by your shepherd, which is God. You see, when they get ready to slaughter the sheep, they don't even have enough sense. You know, sometimes people have dogs. They get ready to bring their dog to the vet, and the dog could pull up from the vet, and he know he don't want to go in there. So he be getting to becoming unruly, you know, trying to prevent from going in. But when a sheep goes to slaughter, they just walking as if nothing's fixing to happen. God said a good sheep need a shepherd. He's trying to help us. And he's telling us, you know, he lead us in the path of righteousness. You know, there's a song by TLC. I think about every time I read this. It say, don't go chasing waterfalls, but you got to stick to the rivers and the lake that you used to. Because usually there's danger. But sheep, when they wander, have put themselves in danger. And that's the same thing with us. When we start doing things, we know that's not right. And sheep, if they follow the leader and one sheep get to the edge and go over the cliff, all of them going to follow him. The Bible said the blind can't lead the blind. So you have to watch who you're following. Become as a sheep and follow the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. You got to follow the path that Jesus has described in his word and allow it to become your moral compass. Follow his word, which is his will, for his will is his word, and allow it to become your God. And if you follow his will, it will guarantee you that your soul will be restored, because God has extended his righteousness towards us. And why we say this, we know when sin entered the world, we were separated from God. When Jesus died and we accepted Christ, we could never be righteous enough to save ourselves. No matter how many people we served, how many hospitals we went to, how much tithes we paid, it couldn't give you enough righteousness to save yourself. So when Jesus Christ died, God said, I'm going to extend my righteousness to you, that you could come before the holy God, that you could live within righteousness, not that you earned it, not that you did it, not that you even achieved it, but God extended his righteousness towards us. And that's why I say, follow his word, which is his will, for it guarantees you that your soul will be restored and that he has extended his righteousness towards you. That's a blessing in itself. Do you know you're on the righteousness of God? And if God has given us a measure of his righteousness, why wouldn't we want to walk obediently in what he has given us? And if we look at verse 4, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Let's understand something here tonight. There is nothing you could do to eliminate debt. Debt has no respect of person. It doesn't discriminate. It's not racial. Your strength or courage doesn't matter. Your education, not even your health. Because, you know, the pro athletes is doing exercise and their body's in good shape and they die. So not even your health or your wealth, because rich people die too. You see, your wealth can't hold it back. Debt has the final word. It's inevitable. Everyone that is born will die, because sin, debt came in the world through sin, is collecting its consequences. Hallelujah. And all of us gonna die, but we don't know when, we don't know how, but we do know why, because of sin. Hallelujah. Jesus is leading us and guiding us through the valley of death, and he promised to bring us to safety on the other side. We should have no fears. We done already cleared up, we all going to die. But you see, us in our infinite mind, we always want what we want. We never ready to let who we love die. You know? But it's so amazing. People is dying all around us every day, and you can see the numbers with the coronavirus is producing. We don't feel nothing about many of these people dying. We feel something, but not like when it comes to our own. Because we start telling God things like, why did you take them? Why would you let me be alone? God gives all of us enough time here on earth. He makes no mistakes. And if it's the day, tomorrow, next year, 10 years from now, all of us is going to pass the same way. But God has promised to bring us safely on the other side. And that's pretty cool. So because of that, we shouldn't walk around in fear. You see, if we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he has taken the sting out of death. 1 Corinthians 15 and 55 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You know, the sting of death is gone because we know if we save, we got eternal life. And the grave ain't going to be able to hold us. That's the victory. It's the old grave. Where's your victory? Hallelujah. Jesus is coming back for his sheep. And in the verse, they talk about a rod. And the rod is a short piece of slender trunk with a cub head on the end. You see, it's used as a weapon by the shepherd to protect his sheep from danger. It is used to keep the sheep in line. It's also used to count and inspect the sheep. You see, the sheep have that thick wool, and with that rod, he pushed that wool back to see if there's any infections on the sheep's skin so he could take care of it. See, God is constantly expecting us, searching what our needs are. You see, the word of God is the rod of God. God uses his power and his word to protect us from danger. He disciplines us when we need it and search our hearts to determine what state we are in. And then he talked about the staff. The staff is used to guide the sheep in the right direction because we can't lead but follow. When a sheep has fallen, the staff, which is that thing with that hook on the neck, the staff is able to scoop down and pick him up. Hallelujah. And it lift him up and carry him out of danger. What a mighty God we serve. Also, the staff is used to draw the sheep together into an intimate relationship. You see, the staff represents God's Spirit, the Holy Ghost. You see, and God uses his Spirit to guide us in the right direction, pick us up when we have fallen, and carry us to safety. Thank you, Holy Ghost. The staff is used to give a nervous, confused sheep comfort and peace by letting them know that the shepherd is right there with him and will never leave or forsake him. Jesus is the great shepherd, and we must become as sheep. God has provided everything necessary for us to live a righteous life, and he will see us through. If we learn to follow and allow him to lead, let Jesus fix it for you because he knows what to do. Whenever you pray, let him have his way and let him lead you and fix you. Verse 5, thou prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil, my cup running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, in the Eastern culture, it was mandatory to anoint your guests with oil. The host was expected to protect the guests at all times. I know y'all remember Lot when them people was trying to get to the men that was in Lot's house. Lot knew it was important because that was very strict back then. You had to protect your guests at all times. Lot offered his daughter to the men to save the men that was in the house. But you see, God offered the protection of a host even in the presence of our enemies. He will make our enemies our footstool. God allowed the world to see what he is doing for his children. Many times, your enemies try to do things to you. God has a way of turning it around for your good. And plenty of times, they might not say it, but they just can't figure out all of the roadblocks and the weapons that they form against you. They're not prospering. Hallelujah. In the 23rd Psalm, God has prepared a table. And today's action, will you take time to eat? God has prepared all of these things to live a righteous life. And yet we turn around many times. There are people never accepted Christ as the Savior. There are people who have became Christians, accept Christ, and never studied a word, never prayed. Only think about themselves. But he said, I want you to taste. I want you to eat the goodness of God. Because then you truly know that he's a shepherd. God is saying, I got you. Follow as I lead. You see, God is a God of more than enough. We must cooperate with God in an outpouring of his Holy Spirit to receive his many blessings. God has blessings for some people, some of us, that we'll never collect because we're out of position. He will pour out blessings. You won't have room enough to receive it. See, Jesus reflects God's generosity when he says, the thief come only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly, John 10:10. God never said he wanted his children not to have, not to prosper, not to get gain. When Jesus did the parable with the talents, he told them, take this, invest it, and make some more out of it while you're here on earth. I want to see what you're working with. But he said, I'm coming back, and what he said, I'm looking for a return on my investment. Everything that God has invested in you, will he get a return? Here we see that God has prepared a well-thought-out plan for us before the foundation of the world. And in his plans, all provisions, protection, all of your needs, all of the guidance that you need is included. Check it out. It's in the Word of God. Everything and all of his promises are there for you. Jeremiah 29:11 let us know this, because it says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace. Now, remember, this 23rd Psalm is offering you peace. He said, peace, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. God will allow us to be tested so that the situation can bring us to maturity. And he uses it to show others and our enemies that we may have hard times of despair and adversity, trials and tribulations. But when it's all said and done, we have all of these things that come up in our lives, but it's never what comes your way. but who you go through it with. Allow God to be your shepherd and follow him as a sheep, because his goodness and mercy is always working things out for your good. God wants us to sit at the table and be his invited guests. Have you ever supped with God? Have you ever supped with Jesus and the Holy Ghost? Try. So you may eat and taste and see that it's good. Because the Bible says it's sweeter than the honey of a honeycomb. You see, our ultimate goal is to be with Jesus, where we will live eternally with him. But until that time comes, we must be as sheep and allow the shepherd to lead and we follow. God says, it's not on you. I got you. Just trust my word and obey. We want to make like following God is so hard. But God has given us everything to be able to do it. He ain't asked you to do nothing on your own. He give you the ability to perform. He give you a purpose to walk in. He created seasons so they could be changes. He have levels of glory from level to level. He said, I got you. He said, you see these battles that's happening, what's going on right now, even coronavirus. He said, they're not yours. They belong to me, and I got it. Just trust me. I'm not asleep or far off. I'm right here in the middle of it. And sometimes you may cannot hear my voice. He said, but trust my plan. I'm God, and yes, I understand. You see, God used the analogy of a helpless, defenseless, frightened sheep and Jesus as a powerful, all-knowing, everywhere, at the same time God, full of grace and mercy, to let us know that even though we are weak, he is strong. And yes, we are powerless, but he have all power in his hands. God never expects us to make it on our own. That's why he gave the analogies of the sheep and the shepherd. If God expected us to be able to do and achieve and be this and be that and make it on our own and we didn't have to depend on him, the Bible would be written different. That's why he says so many times, take this yoke upon you, because my burden is light. He always telling us how he's a way maker, protecting us from danger seen and unseen. Because he know we can't make it on our own. You see, we can do nothing in and of ourselves without him. Learn to allow God to lead you, and you'll never go wrong. Jesus is our shepherd. And really so much more. And if you believe and keep the faith, that was that song I played, we come this far by faith. Continue in faith. But if you believe and keep the faith, he will see you through. So tonight I just ask all of us, and I'm talking to myself as well, please allow Jesus, our shepherd, to lead us in all of our ways through prayer and supplication, making our requests known, and not leaning to our own understanding. And then only will he direct our path. And I'm going to leave you with this verse. Psalm 27 and 4 says, one thing, Psalm 27 and 4, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek. Getting personal, y'all. I'm going to start over because this is my belief. This is my request. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. That's our lesson for tonight. Hallelujah. That's our lesson for tonight. And if you have any questions and comments or anything you want to say at this time, you could say it. Anything you would like to say? Anybody have a praise report? Well, if there's no comments, no questions, call your number at 678-598. Your mic is open.
I just want to say thank you for a wonderful word, and we need to be reminded, and thank you for reminding us. I think sometimes we just take things for granted that is always ours, but we have to revisit some things, and I thank you for bringing that 23rd song to us again and reminding us that God is our shepherd. Very well done. In part received. Thank you.
Thank you, my sister. Minister Paula Cloud. Thank you. And I use this scripture because, you know, we have a lot of unrest and people can't find peace nowhere around them. And the 23rd Psalm was a psalm of peace. God saying what he intended to do, what he has done, what he intends to do, what he's doing right now for us. So I thought it was at a good time when you can look at God as your shepherd and you could become as a sheep and you will have peace in the midst of this storm. Caller, your number is 20888. Your line is open.
Tonight, I wanted to say I enjoy the lesson for tonight, and that's actually something I had a conversation with my mom this morning when she was on the line with us with prayer, and Sister Angelique was saying she was, you know, praying for me because I was crying out, and my mom, her intuition just kicked in, and she texted me. She was like, "Was that you?" And I said yes, and she thought I was, like, literally crying on the line. And she was like, when I talked to her, she was like, what's going on? And I told her, I just feel fearful. Like, I'm afraid when I wake up in the morning, during the day, when I go to bed. And she was talking to me. She was like, that's not of God. She said, you have a lot of word in you, and you know that God has you. You shouldn't be like that. And I'm saying all of that to say this, T-Bain. It was like the lesson was right on time because I be feeling like I have to do everything on my own. Everything is on me when, in fact, God is the one that has me to just totally be able to let him take control and literally, you know, say that I would allow him to lead me with my eyes closed. So a lot of anxiety and all of that. You know, it comes from that. But I thank you so much for the lesson. And like I say, every time I hear you speak, I get my little golden nuggets. Different things just resonate, you know, with me. So I thank you again.
Thank you, my Tamika. But you got to realize all of us go the same journey. And we're human. So even with all the word in the world, sometimes you could be fearful. Sometimes you could feel lonely. You know, sometimes, you know, it happens. So, you know, just like tonight I said, it's not what we go through, it's who we go through with. And just as Jesus had to do when he was being tempted by Satan, he used the word of God to come out of that temptation. We have to remember that Satan can only play in our head. And he put the suggestion of fear in your head. And then if you turn around and put a word against him, and even if it happened five times and you put five words and it worked four times, then it's better than no times. But we all, that's like I said in the night, we all going to have trials and tribulations. God uses that to get us to a mature place. And like David, sometimes they become our life experiences that help us to become the next one we are. Because you see, you're going to be able to use these examples and the feelings and everything that you have when you continue to grow in grace and the knowledge of God. And when you be speaking to a sister or a brother that may be having the feelings that you used to have, you could tell him how you came through. Because if you never know bad times, how can you know good times and the things in our lives, especially the bad ones and the good ones? God have a way of making them our testimony. So continue to grow and continue to keep going and keep calling on the name of God. But we first have to realize what we are not capable of. And then we began to let him fix it for us. So my sister, my little niece, just keep pressing towards the mark of the high calling, which is Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is your rock. He is the rock, and the word of God is the rock that we have formulated on. We building our foundations on, and it's a journey. It's not a destination. So you have to keep going because the race is not given to the swift, but those who endure to the end. God bless you, and we're going to continue to pray for you because you are truly seeking God and you're putting in the work, and God is going to honor it. Hallelujah. Any more questions or anything else need to be said? I want to say, hello to Diane McBride. I'm glad to see you on the line. And other callers as well. Thank you guys for calling in. My good friend Melvin Mitchell is on the line. And many others. But I thank God for everybody. So at this time, I'm going to do a benediction. And y'all who know me know my one I love so dear, and it says, and I'm asking you guys, and it comes from 2 Peter, so Peter is asking you, and God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost is asking us, because that's where we're going to find our strength. But I ask you as we leave is that we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now and forevermore. So it lets us know we have to keep growing forever and ever so that we become stronger and our strength is made stronger and our peace began to surpass understanding. And that's how we do it. That's the program for tonight. I love each and every one of you, and there's nothing you could do about it. If God said the same, we'll meet back next week, same time. And everybody, I pray that God bless you and the blessings that you're in need of. Good night, until the next time.